Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And today's podcast, normally we talk about like what to do for a workout to get your results. And, you know, we talk about nutrition and wellness and business and everything else. But today we're actually going to focus on what to avoid after your workout to get you better results.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's always so much emphasis and so much focus on like the actual workout part of your day, you know, or your workout itself. But then there are things that you could be doing after your workout that is actually sabotaging your results. So that's totally what we're going to focus on today. We are going to, you know, basically just dive right into it. So
we're going to myth crush a little bit.
Yeah, like we're going to just talk about the faux pas, right? And how you can avoid them. So let's just go right into it because I'm excited about this. And I think it's important that we talk about these things because I'm sure even when I think about these things, I'm like, there's things in here that I still do, right? And it's going to happen from time to time. But at least if you know that it's going to affect your results and it's going to affect you, and you also know like what you should be avoiding, then it's kind of, it's your own decision at that point. You have no one to blame but yourself.
Let's do it.
All right. So cardinal sin number one, post-workout, and this is probably the most common one, is when you do not cool down or stretch after a workout.
Oh, I'm so guilty. I actually, just truth bomb, I did this today.
That's why I put it as number one, because I know you always do this.
I know, and it's terrible because I literally, like, I kill it during my workouts, but then the thing is that I just want to get out of there, and I always in my mind say, I'm going to finish my stretch when I get home, and I never do it. So don't do as I say, not as I do.
Of course. I mean, how many of our listeners can probably relate to that though? It's like, you're done your workout. You're like, you're feeling good, but you're like, all right, I want to move on with my day now, you know? And you just do, and you just kind of like, you skip it. But so many people are guilty of this, and it's totally not cool. You can't do that. You can't skip your cooling down or your stretching. The reason why is, first of all, from the cool down sort of side of things. And the cool down is, a lot of times people think of cool down and stretching as the same thing. They're actually separate. So the cool down is actually, so for example, if you were just doing a treadmill workout, you were on the treadmill, you were running, etc. The last thing you want to do is stay on the treadmill for like another 5 minutes to cool down and let your heart rate come down. But it is the most important thing that you can do because you are now allowing your heart rate to come down naturally, which also decreases your blood pressure, which helps you avoid hypertension. And also by cooling down, it helps you to prevent any kind of pooling or buildup of blood in your veins. So it's actually something that is important to your health. It's not just to do it because, you know, it allows you to like feel a little bit better, less stressed. It actually, from a health perspective, is really important that you do these things.
Well, and this is very important too, for especially for somebody who is first starting to work out, or who is older, or who has had any health or heart conditions. You have to be very careful with your heart as you increase it and as you decrease it. Totally. And same with even, you know, being pregnant, as we talked about before. It's something that, you know, as you don't want to just jump right into hardcore cardio work. You also don't want to jump out of hardcore cardio work. It's, you know, thinking of it like climbing up the mountain, you have your peak and then you come back down the mountain nice and slow. So it gives your body a chance to adapt to the changes.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not sure if any of the people listening out there can, you know, relate to this, but you know, the best example I can think of is when you're doing some sort of a workout and you automatically just stop, right? Like, so whether it's you're done your workout or you just stop because you need a break or whatever the case may be, but as soon as you automatically stop, have you ever had that, like when you see like the little black spots and you're just kind of like, what is that? And like, you get kind of dizzy and stuff. That's your blood pressure. Like if you have low blood pressure, you will start getting dizzy. You might start getting faint feeling. It's not a good thing, right? And you do not want that to happen to you. So by cooling down slowly, gradually, you're allowing everything to just start creating more balance and getting you back to where you started, getting back to that like level playing field of where you began.
And as you get healthier too, and as your heart gets stronger, you know, it'll take you a lot less time to cool down. But when you're, again, when you're first starting out, you may need a longer cool down because you need to bring that, you need to bring the heart rate down slowly. And it's going to take a longer time to come down because it's not used to being up high. So I don't know if you've ever noticed, I mean, even for me, my resting heart rate, so meaning when I'm like laying down doing absolutely nothing, is very, very slow because it doesn't take my heart, my heart's so used to working hard. It doesn't take a lot of work for my heart to keep the blood flowing as I'm at rest. Mm-hmm. Whereas some people, you know, when you're, if you're elderly or if you're coming out of something, a health issue, or if you're, you've been very inactive, you will probably have a higher resting heart rate because your heart needs to do more work. And we want to get the heart to adapt, and cool down is amazing for that.
Definitely. So recommend, I definitely recommend doing a cool down regardless though of your fitness level, and anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. 5 minutes is optimal, but if you're really like short on time and you're just kind of like, 3 minutes is okay, but 5 is definitely the optimal amount of time so that you have that gradual decrease. Even I do it. I still do it to this day. I actually add in a cool down, a 5 minute cool down after every workout. And then the next part deux of this cardinal sin is the stretching.
Oh God,
the damn stretching. I know you also avoid it. That's why I put this as number one, cardinal sin number one, because I know you.
Well, I feel like I feel it's the
stretching. I'm not shaming you, just so you know.
No,
just,
me, it's the stretching. It's not the cool, because the cool down, I mostly do a lot of weight training. So I don't do a ton of cardio. So for me, my heart rate is not as high as if it would be during cardio. So you know what I mean? Like I don't need a lot.
But you should still do a cool down even after your strength training.
Yeah, it depends for me though. Like I find like, cause I'm not going to do a lighter set of weights. You know what I mean? Like my heart rate is not elevated enough that like literally I walk home and that's kind of my cool down.
But that's you. If we're talking about like from a list, like for our listeners out there, it still is something that should be recommended. Like you walk home, so you're still like, you are generally getting a cool down from that because you're like walking, you're calming down your central nervous system, your heart rate, etc. But for someone who's going to go gym to car to home or gym to car to work or whatever the case may be, you should still, even if you're just doing strength training, add in at least that 3 minute cool down before you do some stretching, just to bring your heart rate down. And it's also important because if you go right from strength training or cardio or whatever it is from your workout to stretching and you skip that cool down part, a lot of times you can get really dizzy or you can actually feel really nauseous.
Well, and that's where it all depends on how high your heart rate is during the work period. You know, because the one thing I kind of always use a rule of thumb with my clients is that you have to make sure that you're breathing normally before you start your stretch laying down.
So yeah, for sure.
If your heart rate is still a little bit elevated as you go into the stretch and you're standing up, it's not as bad. And it's not, you know what I mean? Like it's, you obviously want your breathing to be just back to normal, but it's not as bad. But do not lay down on the mat to do any laying stretching until your heart rate is fully down, because that again can really cause, it's a lot of issues in terms of it could cause blood pooling and things like that.
For sure. But so because you always avoid the stretching, why don't you tell us why it is important to not avoid the stretching?
Well, it's very important. It's very important to
stretch after their workouts.
It's very important to avoid injury. It's very important to help your muscles rebuild, but it's also very important, and which is something that a lot of times obviously is not huge on my priority list, but it should be. And it is actually one of my goals. It's really helps with flexibility. And as we age, you know, we want to keep our bodies limber, because everything that's going on in every part of our body causes either happiness or harm to other parts of our body. So for example, like if you have really tight hips, that could then be causing you a lot of headaches because your hips are pulling down, which are then causing strain on the head. So by stretching out the hips and having more flexibility in the hips, you'll avoid having headaches and things like that. So it's very important to keep your entire body like limber and not having stress in certain parts of it. Again, for me, this is something that I need to focus more on. It also helps prevent DOMS, like delayed onset muscle soreness. But that doesn't happen. If you're new to working out, that will happen a lot easier. But unless you're lifting really heavy or you're putting a lot of taxing on your body, you're not necessarily going to have really.
Can you explain DOMS to the peeps listening?
It's called delayed onset muscle soreness, and it's from lactic acid buildup. So really what happens is it's when you either lift too much too soon, so your body has not yet started to adapt the idea of lifting, and it doesn't know how to recover from it. So, and we all know, we see it in our Fit Chicks boot camp. I call it doing the Fit Chicks strut. If I'm in downtown Toronto after a boot camp and I'll see like some women in their suits and they're doing that, like the shuffle kind of like, oh God, I can't sit down on the toilet walk because their legs are so sore after, because they probably haven't worked out in a long time. So their bodies are like, whoa, what's going on here? So that's DOMS. And you don't want to get to that though. You want to make sure that you are gradually increasing your weight. You don't want to be out of commission, but it usually lasts 1 to 2 days after your workout and it's not good.
Definitely. All right. So that was cardinal sin number one. So basically what you need to do to avoid that, of course, is to do those things. So we're talking about the things that you should avoid doing in order, like after your workout, in order to get best results. So really what I'm saying here is do your cool down, do your stretching. It is really important to lasting results. It's also really important to keep you limber, to keep you relaxed, to avoid soreness. So it's all like a winning, it's all a win-win. So just do it. Find time, find that extra 5 minutes or 8 minutes or 10 minutes to do it. And you will be so grateful that you did.
I feel like I can't say anything else about that. Cause I'm a delinquent. So I'm like, again,
see, I'm all about it.
Do as I say, not as I do. Okay. Number two.
I'm all about it. I know. I wasn't trying to shame you. I'm sorry. So number two is one of the big mistakes that you can do is not replenishing your body after your workouts. So I've heard this so many times with clients where after a workout, they will not eat a thing. And the reason why is they think it's counterproductive because they think that, okay, well, I just did this workout and I burned this many calories. And now if I eat, I'm just going to put them back on. So it's just like, it's like a wash. And then what's the point? Right. So I don't know if you've ever heard any of your clients say that as well, but I hear this all the time and I'm like, no, that is not the case at all. Your body needs to have protein, fiber, fat post-workout. It provides your body with nutrients. It needs to build and grow, refuel itself, and just build and grow your muscles and your body itself. And if not, it'll start to begin to use stored fat, but also your muscle tissue. And that's where the counterproductive towards your results happens, right? So if you're not replenishing your body with the proper nutrients, it's going to find it elsewhere, which is most of the time in any kind of muscle tissue that you've been starting to build. And then therefore, then that's when I would say, well, what was the point of your workout?
Well, that's where the whole concept of, you know, nutrient timing comes in. And whenever I talk about any type of nutrition strategies, I always try to, you know, reiterate, like it's a strategy. So there's a lot of people who do different things to really maximize around their workouts, but it doesn't work for necessarily everybody. So one thing with nutrient timing that people talk about is, you know, eating within the window right after your workout. So you want to kind of do this within like 45 minutes after your workout is getting a protein and a carbohydrate in right after your workout. Mm-hmm. And what that does is the protein obviously helps to build the muscle, and the carbohydrate gives you back the energy, the glycogen in the muscles that you have now burnt off. And we need carbohydrates, we need protein to build muscle. So a lot of times you want something though that's quickly absorbable. So that's why people drink like the whey protein shake, because it's very easy for us to readily utilize the protein in the whey. And then having a more simpler breaking down carb. So, you know, it goes quickly again into the muscle. So you wouldn't be eating something that's really heavy in fiber right after a workout because it will slow down in the digestion. Now that just makes it, you know, it makes it a little bit the science behind it. And I don't want to be too complicated, but just think about getting in, you know, like a protein, like, and a carbohydrate after your workout. So doing like a, you know, bring your whey protein shake with you to the, to your workout. Or if you're doing plant-based, you can do your plant-based protein shake and then having a piece of fruit with it. And there you go. You know, it's good to replenish your muscles, but you know, you want to make sure that you're not going for long periods of time after your workout, like 2 hours, 3 hours after you work out, and then you're eating something, because then you're going to be counterproductive, especially if you're trying to build muscle.
Exactly. And then with not replenishing your body, the other thing is not drinking enough water is just as bad as not feeding your body with nutrients, because your body needs to replenish the water it stores in order to keep you hydrated, right? And so oftentimes you'll see people drinking water throughout their workout, like sipping on water. We don't recommend like gulping it, because then it sloshes around in your belly and makes you feel kind of sick. But definitely drinking throughout your workout. But then after your workout, it's recommended to have 2 to 3 cups of water post sweat session. And that's just, again, to help your body restore the water that it needs to keep your body hydrated so that you don't go into a dehydrated state.
Exactly. And I always say too, that, you know, if you have to be drinking a lot of water during your workout, it should just be to quench your thirst. You should be drinking a lot of it pre-workout, because you don't want to go into your workout dehydrated. So, you know, the water you're actually drinking during your workout is just, you know, you're not, it's just basically wetting your whistle, for lack of a better word. Wet that whistle. But yeah, so kind of think about, you know, stocking up on your hydration before the workout and stocking up, replenishing after the workout, and making sure that you're going in hydrated.
And so then what is your thoughts? Because you, you know, you have more of like the nutrition side of our business handled, and that's where your expertise really come in. How do you feel about the people that instead of grabbing the water, grab the sports drink? Because they want the electrolytes, and they want it because it tastes better and everything else. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not a fan of them, obviously, because they're complete sugar bombs. You know, a sports drink has about 56 grams of sugar per 32-ounce bottle. So if you think 56 grams is, if there's 4 grams, we're going to do some math here. If there's 4 grams in a teaspoon, that is like 10, 12... that's about 14 teaspoons of sugar that you have just taken in. And if my math's wrong, I apologize, but I'm going to say it's about 14. That is like what you're taking into your body. And again, it's your body utilizes carbohydrates different around your workout. So you're going to use it more efficiently, as opposed to if you're just having a sports drink sitting on the couch doing nothing. But we don't want to be, you know, fast tracking sugar into our body. So one great thing to do, and but we do need our electrolytes, right? So one great thing to do is to make like a homemade sports drink. Mm-hmm. And the electrolytes actually come from salt. Like that's, it's salt. So instead of, you know, having this sugary sports drink that has some salt in it, make your own with just like freshly squeezed oranges and lemons, add a little bit of honey to it and add in some salt and shake that up, dilute it with some water. And that is, has the same impact as getting electrolytes from an expensive, crappy processed sports drink.
And sometimes it's not even just necessarily the electrolytes. Sometimes you're just looking for something to like, for a different taste, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh, I'm so tired of drinking water. So if that's the case, even just try putting a bit of fresh fruit, literally just fresh fruit in your water bottle or in your glass of water. And it adds just like that little bit of extra. Another thing that I started doing was just a little splash of coconut water.
Yeah. To my water. I love coconut water.
So just a little bit. I don't like to drink the entire thing of coconut water. I find it too much for me personally. So I just add a splash of it to my actual water just to give it like a little bit of flavor, but not like that overwhelming sort of taste.
Well, and I know we've talked about in previous podcasts, I'm a kind of a big believer in like not drinking your calories, get more of your caloric intake from food and drink more water. So like you said, yeah, if you want something sweet, adding a splash instead of having the whole thing, or, you know, there are so many great combinations of flavoring your own water, like adding fresh rosemary and watermelon, or just adding fresh berries or cucumber and mint. Like, there's so many things you can do. Put them in mason jars in your fridge and then grab them as you go.
Totally. Okay, so then the next cardinal sin number three of things that you should avoid after your workout, and this is kind of like after slash during, but this one is about not keeping track of your results. And the reason why this is something that you should avoid, so basically I'm saying keep track of your results. The reason why is because by tracking your results and your progress, it'll actually motivate you to push harder every single session. Also, you know, if you're someone who wants to take progress pics, definitely something that we really recommend, because you see yourself every day, right? Like, you look at yourself in the mirror, you're getting ready for work, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. You look at yourself all the time and you're very critical of yourself. Like, generally speaking, I'm not saying everybody is, but generally speaking, a lot of people, especially if you are working on something to do with your fitness or, you know, transformation, et cetera, a lot of times we sort of nitpick on ourselves, which is something, a totally different topic that we should, you know, really try to avoid doing those things, but generally we do it. And so when you are looking at yourself in the mirror, oftentimes the progress doesn't seem visible. Like, you'll look at yourself and you're like, oh, and then you start getting frustrated and you start getting overwhelmed. And if you're not tracking your progress, and if you haven't done any progress pictures or anything like that, you may end up getting to the point where you just decide, forget it, it's not worth it, nothing's changing, I'm frustrated, I'm over it. So really important that you do this, because when you look at progress pics, how many times, and I know, Laura, you've done this, like, how many times do you look at the picture, like, you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, no progress. You look at the pictures and you're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Oh, completely. And I mean, I find it very interesting, even in myself, like, how much I still have issues in seeing myself the way that I actually look. Like, and I think, I don't know if this fully goes back to like my issues with even my eating disorder, and a lot to do with, you know, and I think many women, whether you've had an eating disorder or not, have this issue, is we can't see ourselves in a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people have body dysmorphia, that we see ourselves, I read a stat saying it's 25% bigger than we actually are. The majority of women see themselves as 25% bigger, but it's like, we can't see ourselves. Like, and I find sometimes, you know, even I'll take a progress picture and I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh my God, I barely have any muscle. Like, I've been lifting weights, I'm doing this, da 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 da. And then I'll look at that same picture again, like 3 weeks later, and I'll be like, whoa, I actually look pretty fierce in that picture. You know what I mean? But in the moment, it's like, I still am getting through those mental blocks. And I think it's a long process to get there, but I think it's definitely something that, that progress pictures are still really good. Even if you feel like you still pick yourself apart, because eventually you'll start to desensitize yourself to that picking apart feeling. Not saying it'll fully go away. I still do it. I just admitted it. But at least it will make it starts to help you see your body in a bit of a different way, I think.
For sure. And it also helps you, again, going back to, like, you know, the whole point of, like, it keeps you motivated, right? Because when you do start seeing those changes, you do start feeling more motivated. So by keeping track of those things, and it will help you in the big picture of things, keep you on track towards your end goal or your milestone. And one thing I wanted to mention when we were talking about keeping track of your results is there's actually two apps that I would just say, like, if you're looking for an app, if you're someone who likes apps to kind of help you, there's one that's really cool. It's the Nike Training Club app. And it actually sends you trophies when you hit some of your milestones. So you actually set up certain milestones that you want to achieve.
Yeah. I have a trophy.
And then you'll get like this little virtual trophy. So like it rewards you and reminds you of like the work that you're doing is amazing. So, you know, it keeps you motivated, because when you are not tracking anything, you're just kind of going through the motions. So definitely have some sort of way of tracking it. The other fitness app that's really cool is Fitstar Basic. And it's great because it actually has workouts that you can do on the app. But then after each workout, it even asks you then for feedback. So your feedback is not necessarily like, oh, was the workout good? It's more of how do you feel about the workout? And what it does then is it actually adjusts your workouts according to your goals and your fitness level as you increase overall. So as you get stronger or your endurance increases or whatever, and so if your response back in the feedback is, oh, well, today's workout was really easy for me, I don't know why, then your next workout will probably be more challenging because it actually adjusts according to your fitness overall and helping you reach that exact goal that you're going for. So two really cool apps just to help you sort of on that track of staying focused and keeping track of your results, because it's a really important thing to do as part of an overall fitness regime.
Completely. And I think that I think anything that gives you some sort of outside accountability and outside motivation, I think is so helpful. Even if you're not like an app person, even if you're not, you know, just even trying some of these things, because I'm not an app person. I have a couple apps that I use, you know, whereas look at some people's phones and they have 85,000. But if you try these different ones, and you know, it might be something that really works for you and you might just think it never would work for you. So, you know, download them and give them a shot.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And then this is our final cardinal sin of what you should avoid after you crush your workout in order to basically get your best results. And this kind of doesn't necessarily give you results, but it's something that I just think is important to talk about. And it's called the oof factor. And the reason why it's important to me to talk about this is because, as you know, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I've gotten a lot better over the years, which is good. But I wanted to add this one in because it's just something that a lot of people probably don't really think about that much, but it still can impact your health overall. So the ooh factor is, number one, when you are done your workout, try to avoid sitting around in your sweaty clothes. It is a big no-no. Staying in your sweaty gear can lead to yeast infections, body acne, and I'm going to assume that nobody listening wants those things. You know, and if you are someone who is like, you're done your workout and you're like, no, I gotta go. I've got all these errands to do, etc. That's fine. But as soon as possible, try to change out of your sweaty clothes. And also if you are someone who has to run errands after your workout, try to avoid wearing any kind of cotton because that really traps in moisture. So make sure that you're wearing like proper fitness gear that is like wicking and all of that, so that at the very least you're helping for your physical health. You're not causing any added issues potentially. And then the second part of that is, and this one is a big one, is try to avoid touching your face during your workout and right after your workout until you actually wash your hands, because like equipment, floors, gyms, etc., they're not always the cleanest. A lot of people don't wipe down machines in the gyms after they're done. I always wipe down a machine before I use it and after, because I know that a lot of people don't wipe them down after. And again, that's my germaphobe side coming out. But really, it's like, you know, if you're touching your face or you're like putting your hand near your eyes or your mouth or anything, you could cause yourself some sort of a health issue. And I know it sounds like I'm being like weird about this, but it is a true issue that you could run into. So try to have a towel with you that you use to wipe your sweat, wash your hands after you're done your workout, before you touch your face, change out of your sweaty clothes. It may not help you with your results, but actually it kind of will if you think about it, because if all of a sudden you get sick because of all the germs and everything else, then you have to slow down on your workouts. So generally it is going to actually help you with your results.
Well, exactly. And especially right now during, I mean, it's flu season. So this is the time where, you know, I am not a believer in hand sanitizer. I think it's actually does more harm than good, but that's a whole another topic. But just even using, you know, a damp cloth, like using, you know, a lot of gyms now, they are using, just going back to using things like vinegar and water as opposed to using, you know, a lot of chemicals. Mm-hmm. But just doing something, a quick wipe down could save you from getting the flu, which of course is going to affect your results, because then you're, like you said, out of commission. You can't do anything.
Exactly.
I just want to add to the ooh factor. So yes, this can obviously limit your results, because any time that your body is out of balance, it has to be working to cure something else, and it takes away from maybe muscle building or whatever it has to do. The other thing too is get out of your sports bra. So I'm bad at this as well. This is my truth bomb time. I'm telling you guys everything that I'm telling you to do and I still do it. But you know, the habit is take off your sports bra right away. Don't be wearing your sports bra all day long. Don't be wearing it home all day long. Try to actually take off your bra when you get home, as like go free as quick as possible. Just because especially for women, our breasts should not be confined like that. And it can lead to some other health issues. So let the girls go free, take them out. Especially if you're wearing something that's like completely really trapping them, you know, the blood needs to flow through them. They need to be able to, it's close to your lymph nodes. They need to be able to drain. So just don't keep them all. And I like the ones that keep my boobs like really pancaked in there.
Oh, me too. Totally. But I could never imagine wearing it after. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. Afterwards, the only thing I want to do is like take everything off and take a shower. Like, it's like the number one thing. Like, I have to.
Yeah. Like, well, I also wear sports bras like a lot just on the regular. So just saying, in addition to the U factor, take them off.
Take them off.
Let those girls go free.
All right. So that was it for today for our key things to avoid after you crush your workouts. So again, just cool down and stretch, please. Laura, that includes you.
I know.
Replenish your body effectively. Eat something after your workout, please. Do not avoid just any kind of calorie intake whatsoever because you think it's going to help you. In the long run, it will not. So please just eat something, drink your water, try to avoid excessive sugar because that will actually curb your results. Keep track of your results so that you feel proud, motivated, and excited, and get out of your sweaty clothes and let your girls apparently go free.
Let them go free.
All right. So Laura, what would be your number one takeaway for today?
My number one takeaway for today is, there's a lot of good stuff we talked about. I think probably, I mean, I've talked about this in some previous podcasts, but I think it's about really, you know, not just thinking about your workout time as like your actual workout. So using your time like around your workouts as effectively as possible, because at the end of the day, that workout is just 20 minutes or 60 minutes of your day. What really the results from that 20 to 60 minutes does not happen during that window of time that you're in the gym or during your workout. It happens with everything else that you do outside of that. So don't get in the mindset of just like, oh my God, I have to just do this workout. Think about using your time effectively with the stretching, with the nutrition outside of your workouts, with taking care of your cleanliness and making sure that your body's breathing properly and it's able to detoxify properly through its sweating and, you know, wicking clothes and things like that. So yeah, kind of more of a holistic approach. That would be my biggest takeaway.
My biggest takeaway would be just to reinforce the cool down and the stretch, because I'm a big pusher. I know I'm a big pusher when it comes to that, but it's really important. Like, it changes the way that your body will move. It changes your mobility. It changes, you know, like it helps you to avoid hypertension and high blood pressure, et cetera. So just add those extra 5 minutes into it. Even if you have to cut your workout by 5 minutes in order to get that in because you're on a tight schedule, do it. It's more important than you think. So just figure out a way to fit it in, and you will be grateful in the big picture of things, especially from the stretching and the flexibility side and the mobility side for your body. So, so important, especially as we age. And yeah, so that's my big takeaway. Just do it. Just like, stop avoiding
it. I will do it. I will stress.
Stop avoiding it. Just do it. It's so good for you. Or else I'm going to come to your house and do it with you.
Sweet. I'd love a stretching partner.
All right. So that's it for today. As always, we want to hear from you. If you have any questions, any concerns, or anything you want to hear about, please send us an email at info@fitchicks.ca. You can also check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Fitchicks and on Facebook at Fitchicks Bootcamp. And in January of this coming year, we have a new course that's starting. So if you are interested in learning more holistic approach to weight loss and weight management, we have our natural weight loss coach that is starting in the new year in 2017. You can check it out at fitchicksacademy.com, as well as our new semester starting in the spring of next year for our fitness and nutrition experts. So if you're looking to gain more knowledge or become a part of this growing and amazing industry, check it out. And if you have any questions, let us know.
Awesome. Have a fabulous day, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.